It's that kind of thing of moving to a new place, of saying, yes, there are schools, but can they give our daughters what they need? And I feel like choosing boarding school or choosing not to go to boarding school is such a personal, specific family choice. And so for our family, when we looked at, all right, this is how our girls are wired. This is how they do in school. This is what they're passionate about. What do they need? And as a parent, that can be really hard to do because I didn't want to say, oh, being away from me in another country is the best thing for them. But it is.
Welcome to the BFA Life Podcast. Join us as we explore our school's global impact, get to know the families we serve, and catch a glimpse of God at work. Hello, Guten Tag from Condren, Germany, to wherever you are listening to this episode. Before we get into the conversation today, I'd love to share with you a little bit of what has been happening here on campus since the start of the school year. We began the year with opening ceremonies, which is always a beautiful representation of our diversity. As is probably standard for most schools, we have a pretty full beginning to the school year. Classes begin and fall sports, and then events also start pretty quickly. So we had a fall party already this year, and that was followed up by Spiritual Emphasis Week. You will get to hear more about that week in an episode coming up, but it was a really neat week to get to be a part of. And then following Spiritual Emphasis Week, just 2 weeks ago, we had our class trips. Those went smoothly, and it's been fun to hear about the highlights that the students have taken away from those trips. Now, without further ado, let's get into the conversation today. Today, we are speaking with a family that is connected to BFA. They have 2 daughters in the boarding program and live in a creative access country. I'm excited for you to get to hear this story.
Well, thank you, Julie, for your time today. We're so excited to have a conversation with you. Elisa and I just love when we get to talk to parents of BFA students. So, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So how about we start with just a little bit of context. We know that you and your husband, Phil, serve in a creative access country. So we don't want to go into too much detail, but just kind of let us know what you guys do as much as you can tell us, and then maybe kind of leading up to the decision to have your daughters come here to BFA.
Yeah, sure. So we have been in this creative access country for just over a year, but we were in a different creative access country for about 16 years. And then because of COVID, we weren't able to return to that country and made a big switch, different culture, different language, different religion, completely different. So that was a very big switch for our family. And we, yeah, so what we did in the other creative access country is we did tourism. That was our biggest thing that we had done there. And that was really fun. We loved doing that. And when we were looking at, like, what's our next place, we knew that there was tourism starting in this country. We had some connections here already with people that were working in really remote areas. And that's where our heart has always been, for really, really unreached rural areas. And also those almost like fringe kind of people, a lot of times like people that are from that country, but that are treated as less than in those places. So that's what's going on in this country as well. So when we had that connection, they're working out in really remote mountainous areas. And it just felt a lot like what we were already doing in our other country. And so we were really drawn to that. And right now, so for 2 years, we'll be in language school. So we're just a little over a year into studying the language. But in the last, I don't know, the last 4 or 5 months, we've been starting to think about like, okay, what's down the road? Like, what will our work be here after we're out of language school? And Phil is started getting connected with some conservation work that's going on in one of the valleys. They're actually setting up like camera traps to see what animals are out there. They're looking for snow leopards because supposedly there's snow leopards. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's really cool. And then I have a background in community health and as a doula, which is a person who helps moms have babies. And so I'm really interested in community health. And so we're starting to partner with a group that's already been here for a while and is developing climbing and hiking and like really, really off the beaten path kind of stuff and setting up cabins out in these areas that will be run by the locals. And so God's just bringing together these little pieces. And so that's what we're hoping for down the road is that we're out a lot in these areas doing very holistic stuff.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I want to go.
Yeah. Seriously. I love, like, we say creative access, but you guys are so creative in the way that you're able to access the community and kind of integrate. Mm-hmm. I guess I had completely forgotten that you guys had made that transition quite recently, because I remember when I met your daughters when they first came last year, that the move had just happened.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about that transition and how, because obviously right when you guys transitioned from one country to the next, your daughters also came to BFA right in that season.
Yep.
So what was kind of the need for you guys, and how did BFA come alongside you during that transition?
So BFA has been on the table for a little bit. When we were in the other country, we were also in a really rural area and it just didn't have good educational options. We were homeschooling and we do not enjoy homeschooling. And so we knew of several different boarding schools. But BFA was at the top of our list just because of other people we knew that were working there and also other families that had sent their kids there. We have a lot of respect for the school. So we had already started talking with our eldest daughter. She's a senior this year. So we had already been talking to her about, even when we were moving back to the other country, that BFA might be a really good option for her because she's very academically driven. And we knew for sure with homeschooling, we couldn't give her what she needed, and felt like our other daughter, who was, you know, coming up into high school, that was going to be hard for us to give her what she needed to. So even like, 3 years ago or more, we had already like laid that out for the girls of like, hey, down the road, this could be an option. And so when we started thinking about here, this new place, there are some options. There are a few schools here. But we just knew from living overseas in a creative access country for a long time that things can be really limited for what kids can do. So where we are right now, even what girls can do is really limited. There's a lot of opportunities for boys, but not so many for girls. And so as we started looking at communities that we would be in, it's like, wow, we're going to have to figure out, or even can we figure out, like, for our one daughter to play soccer? There's actually no way. Like, there's no soccer leagues, no clubs for girls.
Which Can I say I got to watch her be a goalie last season and she killed it. It was so fun watching her just grow so much over one season. That was so neat.
Yeah, she loved it so much. And that's the sort of thing that even if we had stayed in our other country, there were zero opportunities for her to do that in the really rural area we lived. Like zero. There's no way she could have played soccer there. Our other daughter got into track and field, which I'm like, are you serious? You're running? And she loved it. And so it's that kind of thing of moving to a new place, of saying, yes, there are schools. There are schools. But can they give our daughters what they need? And I feel like choosing boarding school or choosing not to go to boarding school is such a personal, specific family choice.
Yeah, I agree.
So for our family, when we looked at, all right, this is how our girls are wired. This is how they do in school. This is what they're passionate about. What do they need? And as a parent, that can be really hard to do because I didn't want to say, oh, being away from me in another country is the best thing for them. But it is. And so for us, it was this real thing of like, we're moving to a new country. We were here a month before the girls started at BFA.
Wow.
And it was just seeing our girls needed the stability. They needed safety of being in an environment where they felt safe. And they needed to be around other kids just like them. And that was just really important to us. And then all the extra stuff too. You know, small groups, sports, all that's just like, you know, icing on the cake.
Totally. What has your experience and your daughter's experience been as they've been now in the boarding program for a little over a year?
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys know, but our one daughter, so last year a freshman, she came 2 weeks before her older sister came.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, her oldest sister, so our oldest daughter, she got really nervous. I think she's fine if I say this. She got really nervous. It was like, I don't know. And and the thing was, it was because there were 100 transitions going on in her life right then. And she just felt like, I don't know if I can do one more. But we felt like, so I took our youngest daughter. And when I was there for all the opening stuff, dropping her off, I was just like, oh my goodness, this, our other daughter's supposed to be here. I just knew it. And so when our oldest daughter got there, it just within days, she was like, I love it. This is the place for me. And it was just, we were so relieved, you know, because we felt it. And so she just dove in and there was no looking back. For our youngest, as a freshman boarding, honestly, it was hard in different ways. She had just turned 14 and she's a freshman, which is already a hard thing. And she's in boarding school. And so, plus all the like difficulties she had just gone through for the last few years of transitioning out of the country she grew up in, you know, all of that was going on. But what we loved so much was the support that we immediately felt from her dorm. So they're in Blauen, and it was hard for us to figure out, like, oh, they've got these parents and this family in Germany, but we're still their parents and their family. So that's not easy to figure that out, how that works at the beginning. But we could write, and we still do write to her or their dorm parents. Sometimes I'll just say like, hey, how are they doing? And the dorm mom, well, I can tell, I'm just texting her, right? I can tell she's just like, hold on a second. And she like looks out and she's like, oh, you know, they're eating a snack and doing whatever.
And in I'm real like, time.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, thank you. And then there's other times that we get a text that's like, hey, can we set up a call? We're like, yes. So we set up a call and then it's a longer discussion and it can be like, I mean, often those calls are like, things aren't going great. And so, but it's very much this communication of, we want your kids to thrive. And so what do we need to do? And then like, just to like move on into this year, that has grown even more, because we have needed a little more help with things. And it's just overwhelming, the support that we get from the school. It's like an email goes out to different department heads, and then within the next few like hours, everyone's replied. And it's like, okay, yeah, we're on top of this. We understand. We're going to do what we can. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable. And so that's what we need. Like, we couldn't do this if we felt like we had dropped off our girls and then like, is anybody watching them? And it's like, heck yeah. Like, so many people are watching them and can tell you how they're doing. Mm. So I don't know if that answers your question well, but it's been hard. And it's been really good all at the same time.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like a learning process for you as a mom in that new season. And it's neat to hear the ways that it sounds like you've grown through this process as well.
Yeah, for sure.
As people that, you know, this is how we serve. And this is what we're passionate about, is providing what you've just described to families. Where I know I can speak for Elisa too, we are so blessed to hear the experience that you've had thus far with your daughters here. If you can, we'd love to hear, you know, I know it's only been a year that you guys have been in country. What has been, you know, maybe a sanitized version of kind of the impact that you guys have seen the Lord make through through where you've been serving, not just in your current country, but the previous one. Is there any story that you can kind of encourage all of us listening about what you've seen the Lord do?
Yes, I can. So I'll just focus on where we're at now. And it's super fresh because I just this past weekend on this this last Friday afternoon, I went out with three other ladies. And so in our context, it's really odd for four women to be going out on their own, one of them driving a car, all just like doing their own thing without any men helping them. And the four of us went out to this same area in Valley, this really rural area that Phil's going to tomorrow. We went out there for the weekend. So we just got back on Monday afternoon. So yesterday. And the reason we went out is I was kind of just like a tag along because the other people know that I'm interested in doing stuff out in this area. So they invited me to come along. But two of the ladies, have spent years investing out in this area. One of the ladies is learning like the local dialect, and she just goes out and spends time with people. The other lady hasn't been in the area as long. She hasn't learned the local dialect. They both speak like the majority language for the country, but she's also invested a lot of time out there. In like the larger city where we live, I can dress really, like right now I have on like jeans and a t-shirt and it's no big deal. When we go out to these other areas, we have to dress a lot more conservative. And so we did that. We had that kind of dress on. And both of those ladies have been like, from the get-go, their whole thing is about respecting the culture. And so they're even like, they're very Western and like really strong women. But when they go into these areas, they kind of step back and like they defer to men and they're really respectful. It's just amazing what they've done. And because they have invested so much in this area, they are completely respected by everyone, like the men, the women, men who have known them for years and see them, like are excited to see them and welcome them like fully into the community. And they have modeled, it just hit me yesterday in the car. It's like this really long drive to get out there. And we're driving back to our city and just hit me in the car. Like these, so the two biggest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus said, like, you are my hands and feet. Like he sent us out. And it just hit me like these two ladies, they moved themselves physically into these areas, even though it's just maybe for like a weekend or for a few weeks. They moved themselves into that neighborhood so they could become neighbors with these local people, and then they could be Jesus to those people. And it just was so moving to me. I really love in the Message translation of the Bible, in John 1, it talks about, I think that's it, John 1, where it's like Jesus took on flesh, you know, and came to earth, that whole thing. And the Message says he took on flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And I love that version of that visual of God just becoming like us and moving into Condren, moving into the city we live, moving into that valley, and to see people who have spent years literally going out and sitting and having tea, just sitting down and having tea and doing it for years is having an impact. And I think what it is that sometimes we want really big things. And it just was like, just this sense of feeling Jesus saying like, oh, I love that one household, And then, you know, 5 miles down the road, I love that other household too. And it feels like so little, but it's just as important as anything else that's happening. And so that sort of stuff is happening in this country where people are being so faithful to make these horrendous drives out to these remote areas with the worst roads and just like sheer cliffs going off the side of the road. And they're taking the time and they're doing this, and that's what they're doing with their whole life. And it's so inspiring. And I was just so inspired the whole weekend being with these ladies and seeing what they've done with their lives. And I know a lot of times it feels like too little, you know, it just feels like, what am I doing? But yeah, that sort of thing is happening in this country, and I know that God's blessing it. So it's fun. It's really fun to be here and to think that we'll get to be a part of that stuff.
Yeah. What you just said right there at the end, you know, your excitement to get to be a part of that. I love hearing like this kind of fresh new excitement for this new venture that you and Phil are on, and learning the language and getting integrated and getting oriented to the culture and all of that. It's such a an inspiring, and also this is the type of life that we want to live, like the one you're describing. And I love hearing the stories that are, from a worldly standpoint, just kind of meek and lowly. Yeah. But from a kingdom standpoint, you know, that's what you guys are doing, what your friends are doing, is making a lasting, eternal impact.
Yeah, it's faithfulness.
Yeah.
Yep, that's true.
Thanks for sharing that. That's such an encouraging story just to hear.
Yeah.
Kind of an insider's take on what's going on across the world.
Yeah, I would love to hear from your perspective what some just benefits or growth you've seen in your daughters while they've been here at BFA.
Yeah, sure. That's easy. Spiritual growth in both girls, like off the charts. Mm. And that was, there were a few things like top of our list, community, like relationships, and their walk with Jesus. And education, obviously important, but like more than anything, I want my girls to love Jesus. So they can fail all their classes and they really love Jesus. I'm like, no, okay, I'm not cool with that. No, actually, I'm not.
Those classes, yeah.
You get my idea.
Yep.
So when it's, yeah, we saw a lot of growth in that in the last year. Our one daughter absolutely loved her Bible class, and she was just this sponge, and she was always asking questions and wanting to know more. And that's only deepened in her over this year, or this last year, and now into this year. Like, she's constantly saying, so we talked about this in class, or this was on Sunday at church. This was talked about, like, what do you think about this? And our other daughter, so we have good communication sometimes with our daughters, but you know, like, they're still high school girls. They're not like just always thrilled to talk to us. So I see a lot of stuff from Instagram, and I love it when I see our one daughter is just like posting song lyrics, like worship songs. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's just so, so exactly what we need. And it's just that part of releasing your children to boarding school, like saying, yes, this is what is best for them. And to see them growing in their love for Jesus is like, all right, yeah, this is great. This is great. So that's been a really big thing, is just seeing them grow. Academically has been very good, of pushing them, stretching them, and really giving them what they needed, because we just couldn't. We couldn't give that to them through homeschooling, and we couldn't give it through the opportunities here. And then, like I said before, sports. That has been so fun. Phil loves soccer. He's loved European soccer since he was like a little kid, even though he grew up in America. And so now he and my other, the daughter that played soccer last year and will play this spring, hopefully. Now they have, like, talk about soccer, you know, like, they talk about the different keepers and all this stuff. So that's been fun. And so just seeing them grow in those opportunities of finding out, hey, I love being a goalkeeper, or hey, I really love running, or, you know, that's been cool to see that growth in them. Seeing actually from being dorm siblings, you know, like living in a dorm and having siblings as like brothers and sisters in the dorm, that's been cool to see them grow in like empathy and just a connectedness to other people around them. Like, just, you know, it takes them out of their own heads and into this large family of caring about each other. So that's, I mean, that's all stuff. I mean, they've grown so much.
Yeah.
In all those ways. Yeah.
Yeah. One story that comes to mind about one of your daughters is we had another student's family come to town, and I was sitting with these parents, and your daughter came over and gave them a big hug. And I turned to them. I was like, oh, do you guys live in the same location? Or like, and she's like, no, she's just best friends with my daughter. And I was shocked at how well she knew these parents, because of just that friendship was so close that these parents already knew your daughter so well. And it was like halfway through the year of her first year here, that I literally thought they had like grown up together or something like that. So just seeing that friendship grow has been neat on my end. And just, yeah, as you're saying, even in the dorm, like there's so much relationally that can happen and grow. That's neat to hear that. Yeah, you're seeing that on your end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, they have the closest friends they've ever had are there at BFA. Mm-hmm. And so that's amazing. Yeah, we're really thankful for that.
I think anybody that's been through the Residence Life program here, that kind of strikes a chord. I was here from 2006 to 2009 as a boarding student. And yeah, it was the time of my life, you know, and it was, you know, similar story. We weren't in a creative access country. We were in Italy at the time. But yeah, going from not really having a community to coming here and being able to grow in my faith apart from my parents, right?
Yeah.
Grow in relationships with other students who had had completely different but also similar backgrounds. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that none of us have the same background kind of makes it like we all have the same background.
Yeah.
You're TCKs.
Yeah, yeah, TCKs. And so, it's a great honor to be able to still be a part of this place that continues to foster and encourage and grow these students who come from all over the place.
Yep. It's very cool.
Is there any way that anybody who is listening to this would be able to pray for you and Phil and for your family? Do you have any prayer requests for us? There's a lot of people listening from all over the world.
Yeah, personally, as a family, we are still transitioning into what it looks like. We have a younger son, he's 9, and so transitioning from a family of 5 to a family of 3 that live together most of the year, that's still hard, and that may be hard forever. I don't know. I kind of think it will be. So that is always something that we appreciate people praying for, is just being apart. It's not easy, even though we know they're thriving and they're in the right place. It's still not easy to be separated from your kids. And so our son, who's 9, he misses his sisters a lot. And so praying for him is always so good, for him to just feel like he hasn't been left behind. Because that's what a lot of the kids that are still at home, they feel left out. They're just missing out on some stuff. So prayer for that. And for us as a family, as a group, like the 5 of us, being able to continue to connect well as we are spread across the world, that can be hard to just be able to connect well and to really know what's going on in each other's lives. Another thing is our oldest daughter is going to college next year, and she hasn't chosen a college, but that's a big deal. And I'm sure she would appreciate prayer as she makes those decisions about where to go to school. So, you know, it'll be another big change for our family too, is to have her most likely in the States is where she'll be. So to have that transition for us as well, I know will be difficult in some ways. Mm-hmm. So that'd be great.
Yeah. Prayer for we that. Would love to do that and join.
Thank you.
Join in. Yeah, just sending those requests and knowing that the Lord will move and be expectant mm-hmm. of that. I would love to know what you know about God now that you didn't know before your girls were at BFA.
Oh, man. Gosh, this whole last year, I feel like pretty much the main thing that the Holy Spirit has been teaching me is who I am and who our family is in Christ. Because sending our girls to boarding school was, I don't know if disruption is the right word, but it was such a shock to like the family system. to have two people leave at the same time. And so for me in this year, it's been finding out that really my identity was like not wholly in Christ, that my identity was in the country we had worked in before. Like that was a part of who I was. That's what I did. My identity as a mom and what that looked like for our family. And that was all very much shaken last year with us transitioning to this new place and with the girls as releasing them to boarding school. And so I didn't realize that it was the entire year. And honestly, it was like back in August, just a couple months ago, that I was like, holy cow, this entire year has been the Holy Spirit helping me to figure out who I am, who our family is in Christ. Because I was like messed up in that. I really was. And so I needed that time for the Holy Spirit to say, this is who you are in Christ. It's not these other things. This is who your family is in Christ. It doesn't have to look like any other family on the planet. This is who you guys are in Christ. And so that, I mean, personally for me, that's what this whole year of of having them there has really meant. A lot of grieving mm-hmm. that like change in our family, because it's changed forever. Like that's a big change. And that whole just having the Holy Spirit working in my life to say, like, you've gotten off track on who you are in Christ and who your family is in Christ. So let's get this worked out. And so I'm really thankful for that. Mm-hmm. Like on this side of things, looking back, I'm very, very thankful that, because it's what gives me peace to continue with what we're doing and to continue releasing the girls to be at BFA.
Oh, well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Julie, for your time. We've been just deeply blessed by your testimony and your story. And thanks for being faithful where you are, mm-hmm. and to Phil as well, for just continuing in faithfulness and service to the Lord. And we'll be praying for those requests that you offered for us, just as well as your lives as you continue to wade into this new work. So we're excited for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Expectant of the impact and just what the Lord will do through you guys.
Yeah, we are too.
Wow, I am honored by Julie's vulnerability and willingness to share about her family's journey that has connected them to BFA. We do ask that you would lift up this family and those requests that Julie shared with us, and share this podcast with someone that would be encouraged by what the Lord is doing around the world and what specifically the connection to our school is. We would love for more people to know about BFA, whether that's just to be praying for or to have the opportunity to potentially work here, or even just for it to be a resource for families that live overseas.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is made possible by the generous supporters all around the world who enable each staff member to serve here. If you want to learn more, please visit our website at bfacademy.de or follow along on Instagram and Facebook at Black Forest Academy. You can find links in the description of this episode.
The BFA Life podcast is brought to you by BFA Communications, and the music is provided by Emma Worthy, class of 2020.
We hope that through this podcast you've received a glimpse into what God is doing through our families, staff, and students as they influence their world for Christ.